time. Tonight's going to be a little different. Of course, you never know when I get up here what's going to happen. Sometimes I don't even know. Amen. Turn to Psalms chapter 51, if you would. Starting in verse number 8. Here is the account of David's repentance. He realizes he's not been living for God, and he needs to get back to God. Verse number 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me the joy of my... He lost the joy of his salvation. And it goes on to say, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In other words, if I don't have joy, might as well not even talk to anybody who wants to be a sad sack.
Amen.
You know? Amen. You got to have something that people want. The joy of the Lord is my
strength.
Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We ask God that restore the joy that perhaps is lost. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As of New Year's Eve, my wife has been singing around the house, very happy, happy with her husband. Happy wife means happy life. That's what they say. Yeah. And yet, I've noticed there's something that she's doing that she has never done since the first of the year. And what she has done is she's been drinking pickle juice. And since she's been drinking this pickle juice, I mean, she's been happy. And so tonight, what I would like to do is look for some sour pusses, some sad sex. And I'm telling you, if you'll just, and some people are pointing already. If you'll just swallow a little bit of this pickle juice, I'm telling you, your joy will be restored. But if that doesn't work, I've got some other formulas for you. Amen. And don't be lining up for drinks after the preaching. I'll just keep it here just in case. Amen. We can lose our joy. If David, who is the author of so many worship verses in the Psalms, can lose his joy, the circumstances around us many times cause us to lose our joy because of things that have happened. We forget the promises of God and our destination. Trouble can cause us to lose our presence of mind and our joy, and then do things that separate us from the goodness of God. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs, 16th chapter. Proverbs 16 and verse number 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So we need to use wisdom in handling matters. And if we trust in God, the Bible says, we will be happy. And then Proverbs 17 and verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. The word merry here means to be lighthearted with lack of concern or rejoicing. The word medicine means a cure to remove a bandage from a wound that is healed. So a lighthearted, happy person has a constant healing going on in their life. No open wounds because of life is unfair. Not concerned about the problems every day, but they really enjoy life to the fullest. I heard on the radio that the government has just finished a study. They wanted to know, is there more pain with ripping a bandage off quickly or slowly? They're still spending a couple more million dollars in order to find out. But I know if I can laugh about it, God will bring healing to me. There's so many situations in life that we just need to laugh about it and not take it so seriously. Church, I believe that we have a happy God that enjoys his relationship with us. He would not have paid the price that he paid in order to have the relationship if it wasn't going to be joyous. And he wants his people to be happy as well. A people filled with joy, a people filled with contentment, happy to be in church, happy to be living for God. Amen. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The word rejoice in the Greek means to be cheerful and calmly happy. And then we can understand verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by worship and supplication with thanksgiving, giving, making your request mean known to God, you know, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your mind and heart. Now, if we apply this principle to our lives, life will be a lot more enjoyable. Be careful for nothing. Rejoice in everything. More joy breakdowns, greater contentment. Psalms 144:15 says, happy is the people where God is their Lord. In other words, if you believe that God is in charge of everything in your life, I believe you can be happy. Amen. Take a look at John, the 15th chapter. John 15, verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, whose joy? God's joy, Jesus' joy. Amen. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So when God fills us with the Holy Ghost, he also fills us with his joy. And that joy is part of keeping his commandments. If you go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the preparing, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're talking about a joy that defines definition, a joy that is so infectious that, well, nothing bothers you. Church, Jesus wants us to jump for joy. He really wants his people to be happy. I believe he puts us on display because we have a joy that this world just doesn't know. He has called us to be the happiest people on the planet. You see, my God is a happy God. He already got the victory over death and hell. There isn't anything that makes him depressed. He is looking forward to a great homecoming with his bride, and the table is being set, and I see my God with a smile on his face. Well, I've talked to Brother Carpenter several times about seeing the angel in that window over there during the preaching on New Year's Eve, and he said all during the time that he saw him very distinctly, very clearly, he was looking at the congregation, he was smiling. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you." What is he saying? His joy could leave you. And that your joy might be full. And that word full means crammed in, overflowing. Jesus wants his joy crammed in us and overflowing. The joy of the Lord is not only our greatest strength, but also our greatest witness. Christians have more fun. We have less worries. We enjoy life more. Just the simple things satisfy us where this world isn't. That is the way God designed it. People need to see joy within us. It's our greatest witness to be happy when other people are not happy. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly," or super quality, beyond measure. God wants to add to our life. He's not in a takeaway business. He doesn't want you to be sad because you have to be in the church and all of these rules apply to you, you poor things. We are going to a better place than this world, but God wants us to enjoy the life that we have right here. And I think the misconception is, well, we've got to be, you know, so serious, so sad here because of whatever, that people aren't attracted to us. When did life stop being fun? At 6? At 7? Do we have to sacrifice a well-exercised sense of humor at the altar of adulthood? I have a great sense of humor. I didn't buy it. I didn't read about it. It was part of the DNA. My grandfather had it. My father had it. And somehow it showed up in me. But I really believe I enjoy life more because I can laugh at things instead of worrying about things. Hallelujah. If you have a total trust in God, you have a total joy in the relationship you have with God. Amen. Joy breakdowns release endorphins. Endorphins make you happy and they make you stronger. The devil is not a happy camper, considering he knows his future and he wants us to be as miserable as he is. And so he's constantly bringing negative things into our life through people who don't have joy. Too much pickle juice. His gospel is not good news, it's bad news. And frankly, I turn the radio off in my car. I don't want to listen to news anymore because everything I hear, it's just negative, negative, negative. You can wake up with the greatest attitude and by 10 o'clock you can be, well, glory to God. One man said, "I'm tired. For several years, I've been blaming it on middle age, iron poor blood, lack of vitamins, air pollution, water pollution, saccharin, being overweight, underarm deodorant, yellow wax buildup, and a dozen other maladies that made me wonder if life is really worth living, but I realized I lost my joy." Yeah, right. Hallelujah. Jesus wants his joy to remain in us. Always looking at the negative will steal your joy. Half full, not half empty. Thomas Jefferson said in his Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Doesn't everybody want to be happy? But I think too many people are going about it the wrong way. I think the joy of the Lord can only come by knowing God, not getting a book report, not just reading about Him, but really knowing God. I remember in one of our dramas, there was a video of Jesus wrestling with one of His disciples, you know, and just smiling. And that's the way I perceive our God, that He is enjoying His relationship with the church. How many times have we heard in the gifts of the Spirit, "I've been so pleased with your worship. I dance among you. I love being with you." Hallelujah. Happiness and joy doesn't just land on you one day. It is the pursuit of happiness. Happy people are those who pursue it. Circumstances rarely generate smiles and laughter, but people can experience joy in spite of all of the circumstances around us. Last week, Saturday, we had one of the best times with a group of people laughing about our personality defects, you know? I mean, when we can laugh at each other and be with each other and have fellowship with, it builds up the body. There is a medicine. There is a joy that happens. A good sense of humor guards us from taking everything that comes to us too seriously. I remember some years ago, I was sued, and I was in a conference room, and they were taking a deposition of me. There was an adversarial attorney who was taking a deposition of me and trying to, you know, irritate me, and there were, without exaggeration, at least seven or eight other attorneys that were around the table. And I said, "Hold it. You know, I really think you like me. It's just that you have a hard time expressing yourself." And all of these attorneys just about fell out of their chair, because I wouldn't get depressed because of the attack that was on me. You know? Glory to God. People who live above their circumstances usually have a well-developed sense of humor. Can you imagine how upset the devil is when you laugh at trouble? I remember one time getting a flat tire on I-94. I was between here and Kenosha, and I went into the trunk, and there was no tire iron. And I remember sitting at the curb laughing, thinking, "This is just great," you know? I had a dog bite me in the face, and I preached more about that dog, and more people have laughed about me getting bit in the face because of that dog. I went into surgery on my birthday once. That was fun. I remember being up north when our kids were little. We were in a cottage that we had at the time, and my wife was boiling eggs for egg salad. We went to the town and came back. She forgot to turn the eggs off, and the boiled eggs exploded, and they were hanging from the ceiling. I'm telling you, the best preaching material comes from problems that we have in our life. Amen. We minister to each other through laughter. I remember Billy Cole. He was just such an artist at it. He would cause you to laugh. He was a huge guy. He probably weighed 600-700 pounds. He said he was in the Philippines once, and they couldn't get him in the car, so they put him in the back of the truck, you know. And when he jumped down off the truck, his pants kept going. And all of these people, I mean, this is a spiritual thing. All these people just, they could, he said, go ahead, laugh, you know. But he would tell stories like that and then punch you in the face, you know. And not physically, but I'm talking about give you some hard things. But it was like an anesthetic. Amen. Glory to God. One woman said, I got married at 31. I didn't worry about getting married. I left my future in the hands of God. But I must confess, every night I hung a pair of men's pants on the end of my bed. I knelt down and prayed this prayer. God in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill it with a man. Glory to God. How can God not answer? I heard a song once. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make a pretty woman your wife. This is my personal point of view. Get an ugly woman to marry you. Now, I didn't hear that song until after I was married. There was a man who became a Christian as an adult. He left security and popularity. He was misrepresented. He was maligned. He was attacked. But yet, he kept his joy. He also suffered and severe physical ailment. He called it a thorn in the flesh. It was Paul. Later, Paul was arrested and placed under constant guard by a Roman soldier. This must have been irritating to somebody who was accustomed to doing traveling and setting his own agenda. And Paul wrote several letters during those years of house arrest, one of which was to a group of Christians in Philippi. The whole theme of the letter, while he was in prison, the whole theme of all of the chapters of Philippi was joy. Think of it. Written by a man living in hardship, in prison, in pain, chained to a soldier, 104 verses of resounding joy. Not wallowing in self-pity, not planning his escape, not blaming his captives, not blaming God. Why am I in this situation? But constantly writing letters about the joy of the Lord in his life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, from prison, folks. Paul opened his letter with Philippians 1 and 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. He encouraged them to work together in harmony, and his own joy intensified. Take a look at Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians 1 and verse number 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a dire desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I don't know if I'm going to live. I don't know if I'm going to die. But I know that there can be some joy in it. When Paul talks about sending a friend to them, he urges them to receive the man joyfully. The core of the letter was to let them know that even in his difficulty, he was full of joy. Not blaming somebody else. That's got to be God's joy. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. It didn't come from some comedy routine. It didn't come from some kind of entertainment. It came from God. How do you know it came from God? Because it didn't matter what the circumstances was, I still had the joy of the Lord in my life. Amen. Turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth. Now he's in prison, understand. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I saw the prison he was in. Horrible place. You're not talking about the prisons we have in America. We're talking like a cave with a hole that they throw food down. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all of the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Don't worry about me. Don't cry for me. Don't have a pity party for me. I've got the joy of the Lord. There isn't anything that can steal my joy except walking away from it like David did and some people. I thank my God upon every remembrance. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be a happy people. This letter to the Philippians was a joy transfusion from a prison to a church that was free. Think about it. Here's a man who's in prison who's trying to encourage people who aren't in prison to have more joy. If he in that irritating, confining situation could be so positive, so full of encouragement, so full of happiness and joy, then why can't those who have freedom have joy? In an attempt to find the secret clue to Paul's joy, we can only come to one conclusion. It was his total confidence in God. Amen. See, when you lean not to your own understanding, when you trust God in all your ways, when you have a total confidence that, you know what, if something's happening to me, God knows all about it. I don't think God looks very favorable on people who are constantly whining about their situation. I wonder if you'd stop that and start encouraging somebody else. To Paul, God was always in full control of everything. I believe it. And one day, if the Lord tarries, I'll die still believing and having confidence in God. This is your will. Whatever it is, it's fine with me. If hardships come, God permitted it. If there was pain, it was because God allowed it. If he was under arrest, God was still in charge. If we understand this concept, it'll be easy to laugh when we're supposed to be crying. We can drain every drop of joy out of every situation, even flat tires and eggs on the ceiling, because joy is a choice. When you know God, when you know God is really in charge, okay, I don't know what this is all about, God, but let's go on the ride together. People who do not choose joy miss the relief that laughter can bring to them and cause a drain on those that are around them. Amen. Paul was a free man because he practiced joy. Turn to Philippians again, the first chapter. Philippians 1 and 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the words without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, like those guys, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't know why they do what they do. But nevertheless, you know what? I'm just going to rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My paraphrase would be, so what if somebody preaches with wrong motives? Some may be overly impressed with themselves and take unfair shots at me. Who cares? What really matters is that Christ is preached, and that thought alone intensifies my joy because people are preaching God. All the other stuff I leave in the hands of God. I'm not going to worry about straightening people out that don't want to be straightened out. I'm not going to worry about other denominations. I'm just going to say, hey, listen, if you're going to talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus. Something's going to happen. And it's the other stuff that steals my joy. There are some things that steal our joy that you have absolutely no control over, so why even deal with it? We sing, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in a church that can laugh. We laugh more in this church. I think a lot of times you're just laughing at me and not with me. But it's still medicine, folks. It really is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. No, I got too much joy ready, folks. Would you stand with me, please? I think you like me. It's just that you have a hard time expressing yourself. I haven't coined that. You can use it whenever you want. Amen. Hallelujah. Life is too short to be sad all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you want more joy, you can have it. Because he said that he put his joy in us, that our joy would remain. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?